This is New England Public Radio's Jazz Beat. I'm Tom Reaney with a podcast edition of my jazz blog, which you can find at nepr.net. This edition of Jazz Beat is devoted to the jazz legend Max Roach. January 10th was Max Roach's 94th birthday anniversary. The drummer was born in New Land, North Carolina in 1924 and died in New York City on August 16th, 2007 at the age of 83. Max was a major figure in jazz for several decades, especially through his associations with Charlie Parker and Clifford Brown. As an innovative figure in bop's development in the 1940s, he was Parker's ideal drumming counterpart in the classic quintet that he led featuring Roach and Miles Davis. And with the short-lived but hugely influential trumpeter Clifford Brown, Roach co-led a mid-50s quintet that featured Sonny Rollins and earned acclaim as the last great band of the bop era. Max was also present on landmark recordings by Thelonious Monk, Bud Powell, Abby Lincoln, Booker Little, Herbie Nichols, and many others. By the late 50s, Max Roach was also in the vanguard of a new social consciousness. As one of the most outspoken jazz artists during the Civil Rights Movement, he embodied the cultural leadership that Martin Luther King attributed to jazz musicians. In an address to the Berlin Jazz Festival in 1964, Dr. King said, "It is no wonder that so much of the search for identity among American Negroes was championed by jazz musicians." He may well have had Max in mind. The songwriter Oscar Brown Jr. certainly did when he composed Strong Man, a song that was introduced by Abby Lincoln in 1957.
In love with a guy who is everything grand. Any man can be. I'm in love with a strong man. What a hard-working hero is he. Big arms, muscled heart, dark and shining he folds around me.
Max Roach was an essential participant in Sonny Rollins' 1958 album, The Freedom Suite, and his collaboration with Oscar Brown and Abby Lincoln continued in 1960 with the work entitled We Insist, The Freedom Now Suite. On these and other albums, Deeds Not Words, Percussion Bittersweet, It's Time, Speak Brother Speak, and Members Don't Get Weary, Max created powerful music that decried racism and celebrated independent struggles among African nations. He was also a tireless advocate for the recognition of jazz as an art form, played a major role in the establishment of the African-American music major at the University of Massachusetts, and in the growing prestige that jazz enjoys at cultural institutions such as Jazz at Lincoln Center and the NEA. At his funeral at Riverside Church in New York, Congressman Charlie Rangel read a letter by Bill Clinton in which the former president praised Roach for aligning his music with the civil rights movement and promoting ideals of equality and justice. From We Insist, the Freedom Now Suite, here's Max with Abby Lincoln performing Freedom Day. I met Max around 1977, and 2 years later brought him to Worcester, Massachusetts for the first solo concert of his career. I was awestruck at the prospect of meeting the great drummer, even brought an LP for him to autograph, but he treated me with a respect more in keeping with colleagues than with hero and admirer. I remain humbled by the kindness and encouragement he offered me over the years. Max was a gentleman, the kind who made you stand a little straighter when he approached and feel a little better for having been in his company. I didn't see much of him in his final years, but when I drove to his funeral on August 24, 2007, I reflected on how pivotal he was to my life's journey. Roach became a professor of music at UMass in 1972, the same year that I would have entered college as a freshman. However, college was not in the cards for me at that time. I had a legacy of my own to deal with, that of a family-owned engineering business that I'd been told to prepare myself for from my earliest days in grammar school. This was not to be, but in 1972, I was profoundly stuck between respecting my family's wishes and honoring something that felt much truer to myself, namely my love of jazz. No doubt about it, celebrating the music of Max and Miles and Monk and Mingus held a much greater sense of calling for me than running a land surveying crew. But as an 18-year-old, the path to the latter was much clearer than was turning a passion for jazz and a keen interest in its history into a career. So I put off college, made a stab at civil engineering, and continued my nightly jaunts to record stores, nightclubs, back alleys, and anywhere else where one might glory in the sounds of modern jazz and blues. This continued for a few years until the day when my cousin Tara, who was attending UMass, paid a visit. I was wearing out a new reissue of Charlie Parker's Savoy recordings when she arrived, and as we sat and listened to Bird's great work with Max and Miles, she made casual reference to the fact that Roach was on the faculty in Amherst. This came as a stunning revelation to me, a sudden go west young man moment, and in no time I began to envision a course of study and a life's journey that didn't involve plain geometry. When I began hinting around the office that I'd discovered a new beacon in Amherst, the jazz great Max Roach, my father and uncle, who'd never heard of him, looked at me aghast. But over their protestations and warnings that I was embarking on a course of little promise, I enrolled at the university the following semester, eager to read the classics and study jazz history with Professor Roach. As it happened, Max had begun a sabbatical the semester I arrived in Amherst, and thereafter he maintained an adjunct status with the campus, one highlighted by his annual appearances at Jazz in July and his solo hi-hat tribute to Count Basie's great drummer, Papa Joe Jones. Whether it was an oversight of the university's bureaucracy that kept Max's name in the course catalog or my lack of diligence, I learned of his absence only after attending the first meeting of Jazz History 201. There we were greeted by Max's sub, an excellent saxophonist who pulled me aside after our first meeting and asked if I'd be willing to help him teach the class. I leapt at this informal arrangement, and over the course of the semester discovered a new purpose in my life. I had Professor Roach's absence to thank for the opportunity. It would remain another couple of years before I actually met Max, and by then I was hosting jazz radio programs at WCUW in Worcester, writing a regular music column for the local weekly, and helping to produce a concert series under the auspices of the radio station. When I brought him to Worcester for what proved to be the first solo percussion concert of his career, it marked the beginning of a substantial new friendship in which Max served as an inspiring mentor. The concert took place on May 28, 1979. Max drove up from his home in Greenwich, Connecticut, and arrived early for a sound check. That afforded even more time for a lengthy interview in which he discussed his long career, the banning of the Freedom Now Suite in South Africa, and the challenges he and others faced in getting jazz established and respected in academia. Here's one example. The UMass Music Department went for many years, even after the establishment of the jazz major, without having a drum set on hand. As anticipated, Max drew an SRO crowd for the Worcester concert. His opening set, which can be heard on WPI's Jazz Database website, included his solo compositions The Drum Also Waltzes, For Big Sid, Jazz Me, Drums Unlimited, and South Africa 76, complete with elaborate introductions. Before Jazz Me, a piece in 7/4 time, Max mentioned the dispute that ensued over whether it was his quintet or Dave Brubeck's quartet that was first in making new use of odd time signatures. Brubeck, of course, enjoyed great success with Paul Desmond's Take Five, but Max's band was playing As Long As You're Living, a composition in 5/4, around the same time. Back then, Max claimed that Brubeck, Desmond, and drummer Joe Morello stole the idea when they shared a bill with Roach's quintet at the Detroit Jazz Festival in 1958. Doug Ramsey's biography of Paul Desmond quotes Stanley Turrentine saying, "Max liked to went crazy after he found that out. Went crazy. He was really upset." 20 years later in Worcester, a slightly mellowed Max Roach called Brubeck great, while Riley stating, "We often thought that Brubeck took five from us." Here's Max's quintet with Tommy and Stanley Turrentine playing As Long As You're Living. I was hardly alone in having my life impacted by Maxwell Roach. It was abundantly clear by the presence of over 2,000 people for his funeral in Riverside Church and an overflow crowd outside that he served as a mentor, role model, and teacher to many over the course of his long career. Among musicians, it's long been said that his modernizing innovations as a drummer continue to make him an influence even on players who've never heard of him. But for those of us who did, Max was a wonder of human inventiveness, not to mention strength, speed, and agility. Among those who eulogized Roach were Maya Angelou, who described him as dedicated, disciplined, and daring. Poets Amiri Baraka and Sonia Sanchez testified to his musical genius and political courage in bold staccato verse. David Patterson, who was then New York's lieutenant governor, placed him in a lineage of black heroes, including Harriet Tubman, Paul Robeson, and Malcolm X. In his eulogy, the Reverend Calvin Botts of the Abyssinian Baptist Church invoked the Holy Ghost as a likely source of Max's extraordinary musicianship and a sense of righteous indignation as a guiding force of his activism. In the words of the gospel hymn, "When the Saints Go Marching In," Butts voiced certainty that Max is now in that number. Max Roach grew up in the Bed-Stuy neighborhood in Brooklyn at a time when the streets were loaded with pimps, dealers, and pitfalls. But churches dotted the landscape too, and Max said, "The church and music saved many of us." For Max, it meant exposure to music lessons at Concord Baptist Church and the sparking of what he called a love affair with music. And through his drum set, with its component parts from various origins in Africa, Germany, Turkey, and the Americas, he took to celebrating the instrument as a reflection of the multicultural nature of the U.S. It was an aspect of his art that he emphasized not only in college classrooms, but in presentations before kids and adults at venues across the globe. I served on the committee that produced a concert in Max's memory at UMass in the spring of 2009. Belker Auditorium wasn't quite as majestic as Riverside Church, but Max surely would have been moved by Dawning Holmes' rendition of Lift Every Voice and Sing, and by how readily the Amherst audience rose to its feet as she sang the work widely hailed as the Black National Anthem. For additional features on Max Roach, including a link to the Jazz History Database for Max's concert in Worcester, visit NEPR.net. There you'll also find additional podcasts produced by New England Public Radio, which you can find at NEPR.net or wherever you download your podcasts. Thanks to Katie Wright for production assistance. For Jazz Beat, I'm Tom Reaney.